The one word this year, so we're now on the second word, the Shema Yisrael. As we mentioned before, from the name of Rav Pinchas Young and Rav Yisachi Yaakovson from the Siv Bin, I just felt derech ha-pshat. The Shema Yisrael is, of course, a declaration to ourselves of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, but in a certain sense, it's like a Kaddish Baruch Hu speaking to us. So this lends itself to the two first of the three meanings that are given by the Mefarshim and the Midrashim of who exactly Yisrael is referring to. On a simple level, Yisrael, at least the way we say it, is referring to ourselves. Shema Yisrael, like the proverbial Rebbeid. So here it's in Hebrew. That we're, so to speak, holding ourselves by the shirt collar. And we're saying to ourselves, both in the morning and the evening, that whatever doubts are creeping up in our mind that trouble us in terms of our lives, in terms of our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of our emunah, in terms of our commitments to mitzvahs, that we reconvince ourselves that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only true reality and His service is the only true task that is worth doing in the world. So we say Shema Yisrael. We're informing ourselves with the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema Yisrael. Listen, myself, O member of Klal Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That Hashem is one. In Shulchan Aruch, they record the practice, which in certain shuls is more widely practiced than other shuls. It's not. Certainly that's the practice in Kedusha. And also when you take out the Sefer Torah. But many have the practice to actually do it during the daily recital of the Shema. And that's to say the Shema out loud. Shema, Yisrael, Rabbi Schwab says that that's still the minig in the Breuer's community. They still keep that up, that they say it out loud. And the logic behind that is that however powerful an individual declaration of the Shema is, but even more powerful is the declaration of the Tzibur. And each person talks to themselves, but also is talking to their neighbor. Shema Yisrael, listen here, Klal Yisrael. We're all members of the way Rabbi Soloveitchik used to oftentimes use the term, the covenantal community, the Anshei Abris. We're a chosen nation, we're chosen by Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring His message to ourselves and ultimately to the whole world, leading toward the day of Ikav L'chulam Masol Malchusecha. And we join together both to assist the other person in this great message of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim, which is the whole theme of our existence, and in turn to receive encouragement from the other members of the Tzibur. As the Rambam writes, that it's very rare that you have a person who's able to succeed religiously just on their own. They have to seek guidance and friendship from with other people, that they're also doing the same thing. So Adam is Nimshach Achar Chaverov. So here, according to that meaning, Yisrael will refer to Klal Yisrael. Shema Yisrael. Listen here, Klal Yisrael. They were calling out to the whole Tzibur, and they're calling out to us as members of Klal Yisrael to be Mekabel Amach HaShemayim. So we have Yisrael, the individual Yisrael. We have the Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael. So this all relates to, literally, we're talking to ourselves, to other people, and fits very nicely with that idea that we mentioned from Rav Young and Rav Yaakovson, that it's like Hashem is speaking to us, that He's speaking to the individual Jew, He's speaking to the entire nation. And indeed, in the original context of the Shema, that's exactly what it meant. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, B'nevuah, prophecy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Yisrael. That's the simple meaning of the text in Parshas Vaschanan. Moshe is calling out in his final, very elaborate drasha, and Elo Hadvarim, B'nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the first day of Shvat till Zayin Adar, so part of that lecture, that shiur was Shema Yisrael, telling the Bnei Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So it's that meaning that also can be kept in mind when one is reciting the Shema. A more midrashic interpretation of the Shema, and this really changes the direction of who it's geared toward. It's certainly not HaKadosh Baruch Hu calling out to us, according to this third shot they're about to give, but rather that we're calling out, not to ourselves, and not the Klal Yisrael, but we're calling out to Yaakov Avinu. Shema Yisrael, meaning Shema Yisrael Avinu. And that the Medrash comments, the first part of it is very famous. This last part of the Medrash, it appears in one version of the Medrash, that does not appear in the Gemara. This Agadat appears in the Gemara and the Medrash, they each end off differently. The famous Agadat of Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed, blessing his children, in its final minutes, the final hours. And Rashi quotes that he really wants to reveal to them the end of days, when Mashiach would come. As the Pesukim indicate, you should gather together, Yikavtsu v'shmu v'agidu lachem eis asher yikra eschem v'achris hayamim. That will happen at the end of days. And then the Gemara in Pesachim, I believe, and the Medrash Rabbah both describe that the Shechina left him, and he felt that he no longer had Nevuah. So the real reason the Shechina left him is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, for a variety of reasons, didn't want Yaakov Avinu, even though he reveals the end of days to individual tzaddikim, but he doesn't want him to reveal it to even his righteous children. But Yaakov Avinu thought that maybe the Shechina left him because he was supposed to have a certain amount of Ruach HaKodesh, of Siyata Rishmaya, and Nevuah to bless his children, that it should be prophetic blessings, not just ordinary blessings. So he thought that Hashem took away his divine presence from him, that he shouldn't bless his children. There must be something wrong with one of the children, and maybe one of them is a closet apikaris. So he questioned him about this. He says, you still believe in the Rabbanu Shalom? Maybe one of you wants to... Maybe we could send you to Eishet Torah. I'll send you right now. Because it says, it's in Lo Achshav Ein Masai. So they answered him unanimously that no, there's no problem with our Amunah. Shema Yisrael, hero Israel, Yisrael our father, Hashem Lakeinu Hashem Echad. We believe in the same Hashem as you do, Hashem Lakeinu, it's all the same God. We don't know why the Shechina left you, I don't know if he said that was the grounds of his doubt, but it's certainly not because of a lack of Amunah. And then Yaakov Avinu calls out jubilantly, Baruch Shem, Kavod Mechusel Mevoed. So the Gemara Pesachim ends off by stating that that's why we say Baruch Shem, Kavod quietly. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write it in the Torah, so he wasn't told by Hashem Yisbarach to record into the Torah. But we have an oral tradition, that's what they quote, that this Pasuk of Baruch Hashem quote is a Pasuk in the Torah Sheval Peh. It is a Pasuk in the Torah, but it's not in the Torah Sheval Peh, it's Torah Sheval Peh. We have an oral tradition from Yaakov Avinu that was somehow part of the Shema recital. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't record in the Torah, so we make a compromise, and we say it quietly. The Maral Miprag is a fascinating insight as to why, what does that mean? So what kind of compromise is that? Either follow Yaakov Avinu or follow Moshe. Don't say it. So he has an interesting idea as to why we say it quietly. It's kind of like in the middle of not saying it, but saying it. But he elaborates as to why exactly we say it quietly. In any case, that's the ending of the Gemara and Pesachim. But the Medrash is a fascinating different ending. That the brothers told Yaakov Avinu, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the yes, how could they call him by his name? So I noticed Ravad Yosef, one of his farm, says, look in the Sefer. So that'll give you the answer. I didn't get a chance to look up the Sefer. I don't know where it is. I can't find that Sefer. Probably, because Yisrael is a title. Yaakov is really his name. Yisrael is more of a title. Maybe that's the answer. Either way, that's what the Medrash records, that they spoke to Yaakov Avinu. So then the Medrash Rabbah very dramatically concludes, slightly differently from the Gemara Brachos, Gemara Pesachim, excuse me, and says, and so too is the case throughout the generations, that Am Yisrael and the Batei Knesios, both in the morning and in the evening, they scream out to Yaakov Avinu, and they say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Remember that episode with your children when you had doubts about Amunah? We're still Maminim, thousands of years later, hundreds of years later, whenever the Jews are reciting that. Could be even 3,000 years later, we're still part of Klal Yisrael, and that message that you gave over to us, we are still keeping it. That's the way many of the Balei Drush explain, the famous Agadat Antinus, that there was once two Amoraim who were gathered at the table, and they had just learned that you're not supposed to talk while you're eating. The Gemara's version, not Lahab, the Emily Post's version. You shouldn't choke. So while a certain Amora was talking while he was eating, so the other Amora said, you know, Yaakov Avinu Lomes. Yaakov never died. So the context is that he deliberately tried to say something shocking because he wanted to show him. It's very dangerous to eat while you're, to talk while you're learning because it could lead to choking. So he said, what do you mean, Yaakov Avinu Lomes? V'chi v'chinam, savta savtaya, v'chanta chantaya. Did they embalm him for no reason? Did they eulogize him for no reason? How could it be that he's not alive anymore? So he says, what do you want from me? I'm just darshaning a pasuk. And he quotes a pasuk, I think it's Zechariah, that says that speaks about the children of Yaakov, how they are alive. So just like his children are alive, so too Yaakovinu is alive. So a lot has been said about what is the deeper meaning of that medrash. What does it mean? Yaakovinu is really alive? Does it refer to the fact that he has a special chelek in Olam Haba? Does it mean he really was alive? So my Rebbe Rav Shechter pointed out that just al derech hapshat, whatever deeper meanings that medrash has, that it means that Yaakov Avinu's Torah is constantly alive. Because whenever Yaakov Avinu's message is being transmitted properly to their children, so ma zara b'chaim, afu b'chaim. That if the children are giving over the Torah of Yaakov Avinu, so that's a b'china, it's like a level of avis Yaakov Avinu's alive. So that medrash, this medrash that we quoted earlier, also highlights that as well. They were calling out to Yaakov Avinu and were saying, we are still maminim b'kodesh baruch hu. So these three meanings of both the word Shema and the word Yisrael, need not all be kept in mind while reciting the Shema. But when one has, so to speak, a smorgasbord of meanings to focus on, it helps focus the concentration much, much more. During different recitals of the Shema, sometimes to have in mind the meaning of Shema, of Kabbalah, of acceptance, sometimes to have in mind the meaning of understand, sometimes to have in mind individual word Yisrael for speaking to us, sometimes the Klal Yisrael, sometimes to have in mind Yaakov Avinu, that we're pledging our allegiance to Am Yisrael throughout the centuries. But all of this should help enhance concentration on these very unique words. Just wanted to conclude with, as time permits, we'll try to discuss the phrase Hashem Elokeinu, and if there's extra time, we'll try to discuss Hashem Echad within the 4 minutes we have left. In terms of Hashem Elokeinu, so of course, the multiple use of the names of Hashem in this sentence, obviously each has a very special meaning. The fact that it didn't say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, which could have conveyed that meaning in a simpler way. So, in this forum, we're not going to go through the whole elaborate analysis that some of the commentaries give, especially the Maral, as to it couldn't have just said Hashem Echad. It couldn't have just said Hashem Elokeinu Echad. It couldn't just have said anything else other than what it says. We're just going to try to focus on the meanings of the different words as they appear. And of course, the most famous breakdown between Hashem Elokeinu is that Hashem implies the Midas HaRachamim, the quality of mercy, and Elokeinu is of course the Midas HaDin. And that's a very powerful message when reciting the Shema, because here we're declaring, number one, Hashem's unity, and as a result of Hashem's unity, so our utter loyalty to that only power in the world. Part of the problem of relating to Hashem Echad is the fact that we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu in many different ways, like the Anam Zmir speaks about that. We see in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zikna, Bachrus, we see sagacity, we see power, and we also see Rachamim and Din. As Rav Welcher mentioned in the Shal Shuris, that in a matter of hours, hundreds of thousands of people being uprooted from their homes in different continents. One through what we call a natural disaster, but no real natural disaster. And one through the hands of men, but ultimately guided by the master planner. So it's hard to come to grips with, the Midas HaDin, but that's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all one Hashem. So that's what the Shema reminds us daily, and also reminds the Klal Yisrael daily, and we commit that again, and we tell Yaakov Avinu that we're still loyal to that concept, that however HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us, we still recognize Him as Hashem Echad, and we realize, not like the ancients of old, who would split the powers and say there's a God of good and a God of evil, and not like the atheists of new, and the atheists of old as well, that as a result of that utter contradiction that they have to face, so they just write God out of the picture, there is no God, because there's a contradiction in good and evil, and a good God, if obviously you believe in one, can't do bad, so there can't be any God. So we recommit ourselves and say, listen, if however brilliant we are, whether we have the brain of Einstein or the brain of the Rambam or the brain of Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not the Rabbona Shlom. And that even someone who's in a career of technology realizes that it's hard enough to repair a computer, and certainly to repair a space shuttle. And even after they repair it, it breaks again. So all the more so to run the world. We're going to be able to figure out the formula of the world with all of its complexities. Which wire belongs where in the world? In the plane of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was Hashem's Musa Shmuz to Eov, the famous Sefer, Tzadok HaRal and Rosh HaTovlo. So Hashem tells him, were you around when I made the stars? When all the stars, so to speak, were singing to me? Were you around when I programmed the nature so you should be able to feed all the animals with the bacteria and everything else in the world? Were you around? So Eev, of course, has to answer a humble no. So he says, you're telling me how to run my world. You're telling me that you're giving me a Musar talk, that how could I do this and how could I do that? Do you have any knowledge of even the natural order? So how are you going to attempt to understand the knowledge of the Hashgacha order when I intervene in the world? So that ultimately remains a mystery, but even though we have themes, we don't have the specifics, and that's part of the challenge of life, to remain faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a lot of hints. We realize that life is complicated, so it's not so difficult to realize that Hashem's plan is going to be complicated, and we commit ourselves both to Hashem, the Midas HaRachamim, and Elokim, Midas HaDin, is all one. Interestingly, the Mefarshim on the Siddur noticed that that's a carryover from the first bracha of the Shema. Yotzeor, Abore Choshech. Ose Shalom, Abore Yesakol. So that's the same idea, that Hashem creates both physical light and darkness, and He creates Hashgachik light and darkness. Ose Shalom, He makes peace, that's the, shall we say, Midas HaRachamim. And Bore Yesakol, which in the original passage in Yeshaya that this is based on, actually says Bore Ra, that Hashem creates evil. And in the Tfilos, we try to euphemize it a bit, but it's the same thing. Uvori es hakol, that Hashem creates everything. So we recommit ourselves again in the Shema by mentioning the Midas HaRachim and the Midas HaDin. On a different plane, Hashem Elokeinu represents, on the one hand, Hashem that doesn't really have, at least the way it's really meant to be pronounced. We don't pronounce it that way anymore, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but it has no possessive to it. The way we say it, so there's a possessive, Ad Hashem, which means my master. But the way it's written, there's no possessive. So it's like the entity Hashem. Elokeinu, the way we say it in the Shema, is not Elokim, but Elokeinu. So other commentaries note that this is another aspect of Hashem Echad, and on the one hand we realize that He's the God of the whole world. He created the whole world, takes care of the whole world, but He's also Elokeinu. He cares about me. He has a unique relationship with me. He intervenes in my life in order to make sure that my... I'm also sleeping, it's okay. it's very hard to fall asleep while you're talking, though. He intervenes in my life directly. Elokeinu, that He's my God. So that's another aspect of our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that it's not just a concept, Kabbalah Samach Shemayim, that we're part of the general world, but individually we have our own mission to fulfill. And finally, in terms of, as you mentioned, we're going to try to mention three Pirushim in each of the phrases, so they note that Elokim is the name that's utilized in the context of creation. Gracious Bar Elokim, it's the God of nature. They just had an article in the Jewish Week, YU always has ads in the Jewish Week, so they always give out free copies on the desk. One of the title articles was Katrina, Wrath of God or Wrath of Nature? As if those are two different entities. It's all the same entity. The Ribbono Shel Olam runs nature. So whether you're going to give a reason that you have figured out, those who read the article now are talking about why it happened, or you're not going to give a reason, but it's still the Ribbono Shel Olam doing it. Maybe we don't know the reason. There is no nature with a capital N. Mother Nature has a father. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not my own line. Someone else came up with that line. But we believe in Hashem as Elokim. He creates the natural order. That's what Rabbi Slifkin writes in his books, that when you have a wind blowing, you should think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is blowing on you. When the sun is shining, you should think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking His light bulb and He's shining on you. It's not God, but it's His messenger. It's not an independent power, it's a power that He constantly runs. Creates a very intense connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Elokim, Teva. But after all said and done, even with that, Rabbi Slifkin's suggestion, it's still more of a distance. It's not a personal God. It's the natural order that's affecting everybody else too. But then we have Hashem. That's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzivtecha Meretz Yisrael, as the Kuzari famously points out. That's the God of Hashgacha, the one who intervenes, the one who overrides His own natural order that He Himself runs in order to make the world run in the way and guide each person in the way that they have to be. He intervenes globally, dramatically, at Har Sinai, and He sees Mitzrayim, and other periods in history, and He also intervenes in our own life. That's usually what the name Hashem refers to, the God of Hashgacha. So here too, when we relate to the oneness of God, say it's all the same, the God of nature and the God of revelation, the general God and the specific God, the one who intervenes in our life and the one who intervenes in the whole world are all Hashem. Achad.
Exactly what he said. many years ago I saw a show. It showed how you have to like spinach in a large thing.